So this is the fourth of the four-week series on meditation. Is there anybody who hasn't been to any of the previous ones? Any chance? A few. Okay. Yeah. I hope that won't matter too much. In a way, yeah, I think this evening can be freestanding. I hope it will be intelligible enough to be freestanding. Also, there are some very useful handouts that have been produced on the previous 3 weeks, and we're going to put those on the Buddhist Centre website in PDF form, so you'll be able to catch up that way. So, in the sessions that have just been, there's been a number of topics that have touched on balance. So we've talked about balanced effort, for example, the balance between focus and breadth of awareness, and other topics as well that have included the idea of balance. So what we're going to do in this session is to recap on some of those areas, but we're also going to put a bit of a specific focus on balance itself, and ask ourselves, well, you know, what is that quality? What does that quality feel like? What are we aiming for, and how do we go about turning towards a sense of balance in meditation? So we're going to start off experientially, rather than just me launching into a talk, with the body posture. Our posture supports our meditation in all sorts of ways, and it can be useful to clock that there's a correspondence between our posture, our body, and the mental states that we're aiming to develop in meditation. So, for example, you can think of the openness in the chest as supporting an openness of mind, the alertness of the body, the uprightness of the body, through the spine up to the head, it supports an alertness of mind. And then again, there's, you can think of the groundedness of the body, the touch of the body on the earth and the cushions, and that supports groundedness of mind, can be a calming sort of influence. So it is with balance. You know, it's a balance in the body that also supports a balanced sort of equanimity of mind, if you like. So we're going to start off with that, with just a short, I'm going to lead us through a short meditation, just feeling into that sense of balance in our posture. Okay, so we start off by making ourselves as comfortable as we can. Bring attention to the body. So we can have an awareness of the space around the body. Sense of the overall shape or form of the body. Seated. And just sense into or feel into the contact between the body and the cushion or the chair, leading down to the earth. A sense of the trunk rising up from the sitting bones. So you could trace the spine leading up and up to the neck. a sense of the head just resting on top. Of the weight of the body. We can help relaxation by a sense of letting go of that weight, surrendering that weight to the earth. So we can notice that the body has a natural balance in this meditation posture. And to get a sense of that, we can experiment by shifting our weight on our sitting bones so that the body leans to the right and the left a little, and then just come back to centre. Just experiment with how that feels. Moving out of alignment, back in. You can do the same kind of experiment by leaning slightly forward, slightly backwards, and again coming back to that point of balance. Feel if you can the subtle shifting of weight backwards and forwards. And have a sense of what it feels like to come back to the centre point and rest there and give your weight to it. Is there anything you notice about this poise? Any qualities? What does it feel like? balanced and poised in the body. Hopefully that's a little bit of an interesting experiment. So what I'd now like you to do is to find a partner and just for a few minutes exchange with that partner how it felt to come back into balance in the body. So if you had a sense of the difference between being out of balance and coming back into balance in the body, see if you can exchange anything about how that felt, any of the qualities that you noticed, either in the body or in the mind, to do with the sense of being in balance. So you pair up, and then what I'll do is is to give you a bow after a couple of minutes. So the first, one person go first and say how they felt, and then I'll ding the bell, and then the other person can go. It'll be just a couple of minutes, and quite brief. Of a quality that they noticed, whether it made sense to you, that exercise, or
I noticed it took quite a lot of effort to go out of balance.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of had to use my muscles to go off centre.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, I felt like, yes, when you come back to centre, it feels really relaxed and easy.
Relaxed. So that's coming back to centre has a quality of relaxation about it. Yeah. Anything else? Some qualities? Yeah.
I mean, we were talking actually. We both said the same thing. The energy.
Yeah.
When we're sat upright and we're in a position where we're in line, that actually the energy flows much more freely. It's much, I was saying I can feel it coming in, whereas because quite often I have to adapt positions, is that I don't get that in other positions.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no, thanks. Yeah, so it's feeling of energy in the body. Mm. So already we've got relaxation, energy.
We both sort of felt it was subtly enjoyable, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. No.
Not extremely, but just not too much
off the neutral.
This is
what? Which was enjoyable? The being in balance or the going off?
Oh, no, being
the being in balance. Yeah. Subtly enjoyable.
That we tried rocking from side to side and forwards and backwards. If someone had asked me if I was centered, I'd say sort of roughly. Mm-hmm. But then it felt where I arrived at after rocking felt lighter and more rockable actually. Like it more sort of dynamic, like a rather than I suppose less weighted down. So I think I must have been having an idea. Being sort of statically centred, which was actually creating some wave that I lost with the experiment.
Okay.
But then being lighter, I found that I actually had a slight involuntary rock as well. Uh-huh. It must be there unless there's something stopping it.
Mm.
So that was interesting.
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah, maybe more sensitive to what's going on or something. Yeah.
Well, I wondered whether I was just being really sensitive, and then I looked at my shadow and I could see it moving, so there must be some movement.
I found the oscillating left to right quite pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I could meditate like that. It seems I thought it was easier, more sustainable than rocking backwards and forwards, because there is a fundamental difference in that we're symmetrical, well, more or less, left to right.
Mm.
And so it was kind of easier to just rock backwards and forwards. Mm. And so I think they got it wrong with swings and things on forward. They should go left to right rather than forwards and back. That'd be better.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A bit like, cradle is the different thing.
Oh.
Yeah, a bit like cradle, isn't it?
Yeah, they go left to right. Yeah, that's right. Baby. Yeah.
Well.
More soothing, yeah.
Interesting. A whole new meditation came out of this evening. It's rocking.
Tell me to school.
Rock.
Yeah, rock.
Anyway, yeah, that's all really interesting. I think I often get a sense of, when I'm in touch with balance, a sense of strength too, which sort of in a way links with energy. There's something that feels very stable and sort of strong in the body. But yeah, there's ways of experimenting and. If you find it useful to tune into that sense of balance in the body, you know, you can remember it and come back to it at different points in your meditation. So, you know, if something's going on in the mind or whatever, it could be a way of sort of coming back to a sense of balance, to look at the balance in the body and just feel the balance in the body. And that will usually have a positive effect, to actually feel the balance in the body. Okay, so I'm going to do a little bit of spiel, and then we'll do another sit. We'll start looking at some specifics. Oops. For those of you who are here, hopefully be a bit of recap as well. So, recapping on effort, first of all. So yeah, we can find ourselves trying too hard sometimes, this sort of willful effort. And you know, you try to meditate, you try to sort of, by force of will, get through there. And that often is counterproductive because the mind doesn't respond too well to being forced. On the other hand, it doesn't work too well either if you're too passive. You know, if they're just not putting any effort really at all into meditation. So, what do you need? You need, as Pranamati put it, just enough and no more, in a way. You need enough effort in the meditation to really engage in it, but you don't want to sort of overdo it. You want to stay engaged on the breath or metta, whatever the subject of the meditation is, but not really more push than you need. So Pranamati's words for that, what you're looking for, is this sort of middle ground of being steady but pliant, the sort of steadiness of attention, but a pliancy within it, not too hard and willful. And sometimes there's an image used, which I think comes from the early scriptures somewhere, can't say where exactly, of a bird. So you can imagine yourself holding a bird. And if you're holding a bird and trying to keep it safe, you'll want to hold it, be sort of in a way firm enough to hold it safe, but not strong. You don't want to hold it to sort of clench your hand so that you damage the bird. So that image is sometimes used to describe this effort that's balanced. You're putting an effort in, but there's something in you that's sort of that's pliant, that's not willful. So he also talked about energy, energy imbalance. And there are five categories of hindrance in meditation. And restlessness in the body, anxiety in the mind, is one of those hindrances. So this type of energy is energy that's high energy, it's sort of whizzing around, and it's not really able to be engaged in the meditation. It's off all sorts of places. It's thinking about things in the future or in the past, has this sort of anxious quality to it. Or there can be just a restlessness in the body. It's that kind of energy. On the other hand, your sort of pole to that is where you get the opposite, where you're just really sluggish. So it's sort of sluggishness in the body, you might fall asleep, or there's a sort of dullness in the mind, torpor, kind of, you know, you can't quite get the mind somehow to be alert. And then again, what we're aiming for is something that's a middle ground, something that's both alert but relaxed. You don't want alertness, but you also want a sense of relaxation. So what I want to do is talk a bit about what it is we're doing when we're kind of looking at this middle ground. And how, in a way, do we move towards those qualities, those balanced qualities that are neither too much this thing or too much that thing? So sometimes I think we can go about it rather in the wrong way. This applies to, you know, anything that you can think of in relation to balance. So just to take an example, when we're sort of unalert, we're a bit sluggish, we can say to ourselves, oh, we don't want that. Yeah. I'm not doing very well. That's bad. I don't want that state. And there can be a bit of a tendency to, in a way, sort of try and haul our mind over to the other, somewhere towards the other pole. You know, you're saying, no, you know, you don't want that. You're dissatisfied with that. So you're heading in the opposite direction. You're trying to head in the opposite direction. You know, I should try to be more alert in that situation. And then the trouble is, if the mind doesn't want to comply, then you've got frustration. You know, oh my goodness, you know, I'm trying to get to this place. The mind doesn't want to cooperate. I'm not doing very well. I ought to try harder. You know, you get into that sort of thing going on. So I think there are a number of reasons why this sort of strategy doesn't work. And one is that when we say no, you know, I don't want that, for example, I just don't want this sloth and torpor, what it actually is an aversive state of mind. So you're in a state of not wanting, a state of pushing away your present experience. So a state of dissatisfaction with what is happening. And that's unhelpful to meditation. In fact, it's a hindrance in itself. It's the hindrance of aversion, of being aversive to what's going on in the experience. And what tends to happen then is that, well, what I feel anyway, is a sort of tightening of the mind. There's a constriction around that. And it's just not easy then to focus on the object of the meditation. The mind becomes constricted, more worried, more tight. So the keynote in meditation is openness to experience, welcoming experience, turning towards experience. You know, it's that kind of movement that's going to engage you in the meditation rather than, you know, aversion, moving away from something. Another reason why this strategy of, you know, oh, let's not do this, let's do something else, let's not do sloth and torpor, let's be alert, you know, that kind of sort of approach doesn't work, is that there can be a sort of sense of the inner critic. It can activate the inner critic. Diyajoti talked about the inner critic last week, and I think it's, you know, it's always good to spot when that's happening. For example, I was doing just this thing, sort of thing actually, recently on a retreat led by Cassandra, who's one of our most experienced meditation leaders. And he was doing a meditation review with me, and I was saying, look, I started off in this meditation, and I had all these sort of, just really trivial thoughts actually, drifting around in these kind of trivial thoughts. And then I was starting to tell myself, you know, oh my gosh, and I was berating myself then, and, you know, you're wasting your time from the battery, what are you doing, you know, pull your socks up. Very sort of frustrated tone in the mind, and I was telling the centre of this. And he kind of raised his eyebrows in the kind of way, of the centre way, if anybody knows the centre, he's got this kind of look that's sort of a bit quizzical, just sort of raised his eyebrows and said, oh, I see. So was that helpful? well, it wasn't, was it? I knew, but... Yeah, you know, any time that this inner critical voice, you know, gets going on you, it's good to kind of ask yourself that question, just quite simply, well, is this helpful? You know, does it help? I'd be really interested to hear from anybody who's adopted this inner critic voice and has found that the meditation has improved over it. I'd be fascinated to hear, so do please tell me. So that can be another thing, is that just, you know, having the sense of sort of poles, in the sense, you know, there's something, there's a hindrance you want to get away from, you want to go somewhere else, it's aversion, and it also can fuel a tendency that a lot of us have to be critical, to think that we're not doing good enough, that we're basically at worst rubbish at meditation. So maybe a deeper reason why this sort of strategy doesn't work is that when we're achieving this balance, or trying to achieve this balance, it's actually not about getting rid of anything anyway. It's about integrating. It's about bringing things together, not getting rid of anything. So something that's very obvious, if we just think about it, but maybe not, we don't always take that very deeply into our practice, is that the middle ground has qualities of both the poles that you're talking about. So if you take effort, for example, you've got willfulness on one side and, you know, passivity on the other. Well, you're going to want some of that intention, some of that sort of direction. You know, willfulness does have that in it. It has sort of direction. And you do, that's in a way you do want that. But you don't want so much of it, you don't want to be hard and willful. You don't want to be sort of passive and just let everything go and put no effort in. On the other hand, there's a quality that you want that's about sort of hanging loose, that's about just, you know, not worrying, basically. So there'll be qualities on both of these sides, or in both of these poles, that are positive qualities. So what we're aiming for, really, is a kind of both and in these poles, rather than, you know, an either or, trying to sort of knock out one and substitute another. And often our minds can move or seem to operate in a sort of either or frame of mind. So I think this can be a bit of a difficulty for us, because we, in a way, it's like we ping pong between two poles because we're sort of worried about letting ourselves go into them. Because we think we have to knock one out to get the other. So, for example, if you take restlessness and anxiety and sloth and torpor, we're a bit kind of reluctant or suspicious almost of really letting ourselves go into relaxation, you know, really, really, really being totally relaxed. Because we associate it with blobbing out. It feels like, you know, like the associations for us are, you know, just sort of blobbing out in front of the telly or whatever, total relaxation, surely. It's a bit like Dido was saying last week, you know, total enjoyment. It can't be good, can it? You know, we don't want too much of that, you know, relaxation. Well, you know, maybe, yeah, meditation's about relaxation, but maybe not too much, you know. You don't ask too much of that, do you? It's the kind of thing we think it's sort of blobbing out, because we think we can't really, really be totally relaxed and have the alertness that we need from meditation. Or on the other hand, you know, we're a bit sort of wary of energy. You know, there's a lot of energy going on, high energy, and we feel somehow we need to dampen things down. Energy is somehow, you know, you can't sort of let yourself go into energy because it's going to, you know, it's going to sort of take you away from meditation, obviously. If you've got high energy, and we can't have all that energy, can we? And also be calm, you know, also be calm and focused and in a meditative state. But the thing is, in a way, we do want both. I mean, that's, you know, energy, that's what we want. We want something that's totally relaxed and also, ideally, totally bright and alert. Mm-hmm. That's what we're aiming for. And I think we get there more if we think of this, of working in a sort of both and way than a knocking something out and substituting it away. Don't know if that's very clear, but I mean, a clearer way of saying it is a matter of, which is, I think, what I've come to do as a matter of practice, is that if I'm heading towards one of these poles, for example, restlessness or anxiety, there's a lot of energy going on, rather than to say, no, I don't want that, what I try to do is to spot in it what's actually positive, the positives of the side of that, and just feel my way into that. So I like to kind of feel my way into the energy in that. That there's, you know, there is less an energy in that. Okay, it may not be going quite where I want it to go, but there's an energy in that that is positive. And then also I invite in something else, so then I invite in the qualities more on the other side. You know, I can invite in more relaxation, open up to relaxation. Yeah. So you can think of it like that. If you're sort of, there's too much of one thing, you can say, well, you know, what in that is actually helpful and I can tune into, and then what perhaps another quality tending towards the opposite pole I can bring in too. If you do that, you sort of, there's sort of alchemy that happens, that's something to do with balance in the middle. So we're just going to do some practice on this, using energy, and what we're going to do is to, we'll use the body to try to feel into the state that is both alert and relaxed. Just spend a few moments just settling again. We can start by tuning into whether energy or general mood in the body and mind is quite calm and even, or whether there's a sense of a lot of agitation or restlessness. Maybe there's sluggishness, maybe tiredness. So however it is, just come to be as you are at this moment, with a sense that nothing in that needs changing. Not trying to do anything with your experience or get anywhere, just sensing in. So now you could try feeling into whatever sensations there are of aliveness in the body. Notice if there are any points where that feels strongest for you. Subtle tinglings in the body, the movement, the breath, wherever you feel that sense of vitality. allowing yourself to really feel, really respond to the aliveness of the body. So now, if possible, not losing touch with that sense of vitality, you could also tune into whatever it is in your experience that feels really relaxed and open, at ease. Maybe there's an ease somewhere in the body. Just an overall sense of something that really feels it can let go. There's no need to hold on. If you can let go into that. How does it feel to be turning towards the relaxation, opening into a relaxation, which is also really alive, really vibrant? just for a few minutes before the tea break, I'd like you to re-find your pair and share anything you want to share. And if you just want to be quite meditative about that, then that's fine too, you know. Just talking the way that you want to, but if you feel you want to talk quietly or just, a few words, then that's fine. Or if you want to talk a lot, then that's also fine. But go into your pairs, and what I'll do is to, again, give you a signal when we're halfway through, just a couple of minutes each, just to give you the opportunity, if one person hasn't said, to know that they need to stop over. So, I'm just going to mention two other areas quite briefly, and then we'll meditate. So, just recapping on focus, another area that was talked about in the last few weeks. And I've just realised actually that it's not very easy to see this, is it, at the back? So, apologies, you can see it?
Okay.
So focus, Kanya Mata talked about focus, and this is another area where we're looking for a balance. So too tight a focus on whatever it is you're meditating on, say for example on the breath, that's going to lead us to exclude other aspects of our experience, in our directed attempt just to stay focused on that one thing. So it's going to lead us to exclude other areas. And the trouble with that is, if we do it too tightly, is that other aspects of our experience can find ways, they're going to try and find ways to sort of get in, they're being too tightly excluded. And they'll often sort of re-enter our experience in the form of a hindrance. So this sort of tight focus can lead to willful effort, headaches, that sort of determination just to stick at one point, which is actually unhelpful. You know the kind of thing, I will absorb myself, I will be metaphor. It's counterproductive. But we don't want to be completely unfocused either, so to slack a focus is going to lead to vagueness. And what we want is we want the kind of attention that keeps the object of meditation in view, but also allows other things in, doesn't completely shut them out. So what Pranamati talked about was breadth and focus, having a broad awareness, but maintaining a focus as well. We can think of this also as foreground and background. So we can have at the foreground of our attention, for example, the breath, if the practice we're doing is the mindfulness of breathing. But we can allow the sensations, thoughts, feelings to be there, to arise as background. And in that way, we come to meditate with more of ourselves. We're maintaining a focus, but we're meditating with all of ourselves in a more integrated way. And if we're able to keep that sense of balance, actually what we'll find is that our focus will improve, our focus will become sharper, but it will happen in a sort of unforced way, without us just being very tight and pinning our attention down. Okay, so that's breadth and focus. And enjoyment. So this takes us to last week and Dhyajyoti. And she got us tuning into enjoyment in meditation. So we were allowing, or attempting to allow ourselves to really enjoy our experience. And looking out for sensations, experiences of pleasure that we could engage, that would engage our interests and sort of lead us deeper into the meditation. And she talked about the extremely pleasurable and happy states called the dhyanas, the absorptions. So, a question does arise is, you know, if we're aiming for absorption, trying to absorb ourselves in meditation, you know, what do we do about discomfort? What do we do about pain? Because enjoyment isn't actually all of our experience. There are going to be painful things, uncomfortable things that happen. And this is obviously a big area, and there are different approaches that we might want to use at different times. And particularly if there's something, you know, very painful going on, if there's a very painful emotional states, mental states going on, at some point we're going to need to be really be with that. We're going to need to give it a particular space, attention, an opportunity for healing, which will be more than simply sort of allowing it to be there, probably. It will need something, you know, more than that. But, you know, maybe with states of mind that aren't so acute as that, with discomfort that comes and goes, that everybody, we all know and happens, could be discomfort in the body, just thoughts that are a bit dissatisfied, thoughts of aversion or wanting something that we can't have or whatever it is, that's any sort of discomfort that's in the mind, sort of regular stuff that we all deal with. We can treat it in a way like breadth and focus, you know, foreground and background. So we can still have we can still be turning towards pleasure in our experience. Turning towards those pleasurable sensations that tend to lead us deeper into absorption. But we can allow the discomfort to be there. We can make space, in a way, give space to the discomfort, not try and push it away. And it can be, in a way, just held and allowed to be there. And you can look at that, you know, in a sense, there's a sense in which, a bit like focus, you know, that sort of approach will tend to naturally lead to deepening focus. So that kind of approach will actually naturally lead to deepening pleasure. You know, it's a bit counterintuitive because I think we do, you know, intuitively want to shut what's unpleasant and uncomfortable out. But if we don't do that, if we do just give it space, but maintain the leaning towards pleasure, then pleasure will get deeper, all the deeper in a way, because we're not forcibly trying to shut out the discomfort. In a sense, it's that the positive, pleasurable aspects of our experiences, they can take care of the discomfort, you know. The discomfort can just be there, and you can allow what's pleasurable also to emerge, and it will take care of the discomfort.